What is up, Moncton? Welcome to a special Wednesday episode of the Moncton Wildcast. I am your host, Adam. I want to thank you for joining me tonight on this July 4th. We are 87 days away from the home opener. It's not getting here any quicker, is it, Moncton? Before we begin, I want to send a special happy 4th of July to our two Americans from Eden, New York, Dylan Seitz, and from Odessa, Florida, Jack Tucker. Now that that's out of the way, let's talk about some World Junior Hockey Canada, shall we? So today they released their, I guess, World Junior Showcase roster. 40 players that will compete in Kamloops July 28th to August 4th. There were no Moncton Wildcats on that roster. It's not really much of a shock there. I think in the coming years you're going to see a certain name on there. And if you follow this show, you know that who that is. But there were a few Q players and some highly touted Q players invited to this camp. So let's go through them real quick, because this is a Moncton Wildcats show, but it's also, I got no problem talking about other players on other teams. So the goaltenders that are invited to the camp: Olivier Rodrigue of the Volts and Matthew Welsh of the Islanders. They, I believe, are competing for the backup job. I believe it's DiPietro's job out of Windsor. I mean, he was the third for the World Hockey Championships early on, and it's, you know, obviously without anything, he kind of looks like he's the goalie to beat. So I suspect those two will be backing up. It would be kind of cool to have two Q goalies playing in the World Juniors, right? When you go to defensemen, you got Nathan Baudin from the Drummondville Voltigeurs, Noah Dobson from the Acadie Bathurst Titan, Pierre Oliver Joseph from the Islanders, and Jared McIsaac of the Halifax Mooseheads. Look, I think two, if not three, of those defensemen could make that top six. I don't see a roster that doesn't have Noah Dobson on the back end. I think he's him and Bouchard. As an Oilers fan, it'd be fun to watch those two go side by side for most of the World Junior, and that's a pretty good 1-2 punch. But look, I think I think two of them could make it. I just don't know which is the other one with Dobson. When you go to the forward group, Maxime Comtois of the Drummondville Voltigeurs, Anton Morin of the Titan, now the Moosehead, the Halifax Mooseheads. Joel Teasdale of the Armada and Joe Villano of the Drummondville Voltigeurs. Comtois played there last year, so I don't, you know, usually they bring guys back. He would be the one. The other three, I'm not sure. I mean, it depends what kind of team they want to go with. I mean, if they want that skilled team, Villano is up there. If they want to go gritty and hard to play against, Morin and Teasdale obviously fit that bill. So it'll be interesting to see how that camp breaks down. Again, that's July 28th to August 4th. I'm sure you'll see a lot of updates as we go forward on the networks, TSN and Sportsnet. But like I said, this is a Moncton Wildcats show, and with 87 days left until our home opener, I'm kind of tired of talking about camp, you know, the arena. So I thought let's switch it up. Let's do something a little bit different. So I'm gonna give you the Moncton Wildcats 10 best moments. I'm not gonna put them in order. So the order you're gonna hear them in tonight is not my 10 to 1. They're not in any specific order, because let's be honest, my 10 are going to be different from your 10 or his 10 or everybody's 10 could be different. They might have a few of the same moments, but they're not all going to be ranked in the same order. So it's really difficult for me to put them in a certain order. So you know, I'm just going to give you the 10 and you guys can put them in your own order, I guess, and let me know what your order is or if I missed any, right? So, without further ado, let's kick this thing off. And the first one is the easiest one. It's Moncton was awarded a franchise in 1995. They were called the Moncton Alpines, and they were not very good, as most expansion teams are not, especially in junior hockey. And they almost lost the team. The attendance was down, wasn't very good. As we know, Robert Irving stepped in, bought the franchise, rebranded them, renamed them the Wildcats, and they played their first game September 22nd, 1996, and got a 9-6 victory over Victoriaville. It was not the first of many that year. They went 16-47, but you know what? That's obviously a big moment, because if that never happens, I'm not sitting here talking to you about this franchise. Who knows, you know, when you get a team and you lose them, you might not get one back. Who knows if they would have got one back, but we don't have to worry about that. The first moment of the franchise in the 10 best was Moncton getting a QMJHL franchise. The next moment, it happened that same year, and it's still standing today. And that's the rookie record for goals. It was Patrick Dagenet, I think, 43 goals in 95-96. That record still stands today. You put that in perspective, I think Pelts had 23 this year. And I know it was, 9-6 as a hockey score in 95-96 was kind of the norm. It's a completely different game now. So will that record be broken by a Wildcat rookie? It'll have to be some kind of a rookie to break that. I don't know if records are made to be broken, but I don't know if that one ever will be, because it's such a different game nowadays, right? All right, next up, the third best moment, not in a countdown. Moncton was named the host of the 2006 Memorial Cup, May 19th to 28th at the Coliseum. We were the host as well. We represented as a QMJHL champ that year. The WHL sent the Vancouver Giants. The OHL sent the Peterborough Petes. And because we were hosting and we got to the final, the team that was in the final against us, the Quebec Remparts, they were also there. Moncton did go 2-1 in that tournament. They secured a semifinal berth. They were able to beat the Giants. But ultimately, they lost 6-2. To Quebec in what was a President's Cup rematch, and I wasn't here, obviously, but I have heard rumblings it was quite the back and forth between Patrick Waugh and our Moncton coach at the time, Ted Nolan, and obviously you can see why. I mean, those two teams play each other all year. They battled in a six-game series where Moncton was able to win the President's Cup and walk in the front door as the champion when they were hosting. So that was, that's an amazing moment to have, to host the Memorial Cup, but it didn't quite turn out in the favor that obviously Monctonians would have liked, right? Number four, staying in that same year, winning the President's Cup in the 2005-2006 series, sorry. This was Moncton's first title. And they, let's be honest, they were dominant all season. They were the number one team in Canada for most of the season. They went 52-15 for 107 points, which still stands today. That's pretty star-studded. They absolutely rolled through the playoffs. They beat Victoriaville, Halifax, and Gatineau all 4-1 en route to the championship, in which, like I said just a little bit ago, they beat Quebec 4-2 to win the President's Cup and walk in. You always want to, when you're hosting, you always want to walk in the front door as host and champ. Moncton was able to do that. Fortunately, it just didn't work out for them to get everything they wanted that season. But I think if you ask anyone, the 2005-06 season was pretty unbelievable. The next moment, I don't know how many of you saw it. When I was on social media, on Twitter and Instagram, I was asking people what some of their top moments were, and I had three or four people say the Malatesta hit. And I'm like, all right, apparently I'm going to go YouTube the Malatesta hit. And oh my God. Look, it was the 2015-2016 season, December 13th to be exact. It was a 2-2 hockey game between Rimouski and our Wildcats. Boland tried to made a pass out of his zone, and if just go to YouTube, find the hit. That's Malatesta, because what I'm about to describe does not do it justice. Boland makes the play, makes the pass, and Freight Train Malatesta absolutely destroys him. Puts his shoulder right into his chest, about 4 feet from the boards. The kid doesn't touch the ice until he slams against the boards. Stick goes flying, lands against the boards. I mean, he got five in a game. It was a clean hit. He hit him shoulder to chest. I mean, his feet went, Malatesta's feet went off the ground, but he was already in the follow-through. It's, honestly, go YouTube it. It is amazing. He got a five-minute penalty for boarding and a game misconduct. I don't know how much of that was actually giving him a penalty to give him a penalty, and how much of it was actually giving him a penalty to get him out of the game so that the next shift guys weren't trying to fight him. But, I mean, seriously, if you have time, YouTube that hit. It is unbelievable. Like, there's no, what I just described does not do it justice. It's unbelievable. The next moment, Connor Garland. This kid was pretty good. In the 2013-2014 season, he had 128 points for the point record in one season, which is pretty impressive. He surpassed the previous total of 114. And then he thought for fun, in 2014-2015, he would surpass that point total with setting a record 94 assists en route to setting a record of 129 points. That record may not be touched. I mean, you put that in perspective. I mean, I know it was just 3-4 years ago, but McKenna was 72 points. He had 129. Like, it's crazy. He was able to get to surpass he had his point record of 128 the season before. And with two assists in the final game of that season against Charlottetown, he assisted on Garrett Johnson's goal about 7 minutes into the third to get his 129th point and become the franchise leader in points for a season. Speaking of season records, and, you know, we've talked rookies, we've talked forwards, let's talk goaltenders. Moncton's been very fortunate to have a few good goaltenders go through. Corey Crawford, Alex DeBoe, and in 2008 and 2009 season, Nikolai Ryopel was something else. He set the record for wins by a goaltender with 43 that year. He was 43-15, with 5 shutouts and a 2.01 goals against average. That's ridiculous good. He set the record with his 36th victory on February 18th against Lewiston, surpassing Corey Crawford, like I just said. Had the record of 35. He passed that on February 18th with his 36th. And then he just kept adding to it, getting his 43rd victory on the final game of the season, March 15th, with a 3-1 victory over Cape Breton. This guy was something else. He was a backbone of the team for the years he played. You'll hear about him again here in just a little bit as I talk about the final, I guess, best moment of the Wildcats history. But, I mean, this goalie was, Nikolai was something else. We move on. This one's fresh probably in everyone's mind, and it was, I looked at a few things trying to find a bigger upset in our franchise history, and I couldn't find it. If somebody wants to let me know, by all means, but we completed the biggest upset in franchise history last season in the playoffs as the number 14 seed, upsetting the number 3 Rimouski Oceanic. We finished 14th. They finished 3rd. I mean, we were huge, huge underdogs. We had 15 less wins than they did. We had 31 less points. Every expert you talk to, except me, and I'm nowhere near an expert, picked Rimouski in 4. They maybe gave us 1 win. This series was supposed to be done and quick. Rimouski was supposed to just brush us off and be on to the next round. And, I mean, for good reason. They were led by Lafreniere, who had over 40 goals as a rookie. Rookie goaltender Ellis, they made some acquisitions of veteran players down the stretch. But this Wildcat team, just didn't quit. They weren't giving up. We got down. It's tied going to Rimouski game 5. We got down coming home 3-2. You kind of think Rimouski's going to put their foot on our throat, end this thing. And then their coach gave us just that little bit of extra motivation when Serge called out Grammett Bauer saying he wasn't very good. You know, we can't go into a potential Memorial Cup hosting year with this kid as a goaltender. We should have more wins. And man, did it piss that team off to the tune of a 2-1 victory in game 6 at home. You knew they were going to win that one. And then go on the road, they punched Rimouski right in the mouth like they deserved. They got a 6-3 victory in game 7, and they moved on to round 2. But it was, like I said, if you can find a bigger upset in the playoffs for this Moncton team, by all means, I'm all for listening to it. But I couldn't find one. So, look, we've talked rookies, we've talked forwards, we've talked goaltenders. There's only one position left. 2005-2006, the year the Memorial Cup was in Moncton. This was a star-studded roster. And of course, I mean, it should be when you're hosting the Memorial Cup. It included D-man Keith Yandle, who played 1 year with us, played 66 games, and what did he do? Meh. He set the record for points by a D-man with 84, and record for goals for a D-man with 25. And both of those have yet to be toppled or really even close. So, I mean, and he went on to have an unbelievable NHL career with Arizona for the longest time. And then he went to the Rangers. So you could just, the talent was there. You could see it. And again, a few of these records, as I'm looking through them, I'm not sure they'll be broken again. But, you know, records were made to be broken. So who knows down the road, right? The final moment in Wildcats history was the 2010 President's Cup Championship. This is the last time the Wildcats won the President's Cup. That year they went 48-14, 2-4, for 102 points. I mean, they loaded up. They added some big names. But the biggest name they got was getting, as I mentioned earlier, with record for most wins, was Nikolai. Midway from the pro ranks, midway through the season, and that was the biggest difference. The Cats steamrolled through the playoffs, again, winning over Cape Breton, Rouyn-Noranda, and Drummondville 4-1 before beating our New Brunswick rival, St. John Sea Dogs, in 6 at home, 7-4 on May 10th. And why is the May 10th significant? Because after finishing that game, 4 days later, they were off to Brandon to represent the Q in the 2010 MasterCard Memorial Cup alongside host Brandon Wheat Kings, the Calgary Hitmen, and the Windsor Spitfires. I remember this Memorial Cup. I was a huge Hitmen fan, obviously being back in Calgary. This was the Taylor Hall show in Brandon. I mean, they were a pretty dominant team in Windsor. I know that Moncton was very close to beating Windsor. I think they lost in overtime in the final game. From what I heard and what I read, Nikolai wasn't feeling all that well. He didn't play that great, but from what I heard, he had the flu. It could have been a lot different had he been up to what he was. But when you go through a playoff year and you have 4 days to recover, that's always tough on a hockey team. So there you go. The best 10 moments in Moncton Wildcats franchise history so far. Let me know what you think. Again, you can follow me on the social media. Twitter at Moncton Wildcats. Instagram, Moncton Wildcats. Facebook, Moncton Wildcats. You can follow this show on Podbean. I want to thank you guys. I will see you next week for another episode of the Moncton Wildcast. My name is Adam. Have a good night.